Black, Baltimore Positive, and WNST.net. Don Mohler, where else would we be 4th of July week? We're in the Ville, right? Moving from one location on Frederick Road up the other. I had to move around from all the chairs out here that they put out here in the Ville, correct?
Someone asked me the other day, how long ago was it that people began to put chairs along Frederick Road? Renee's Spence sitting out here with us today. They asked me, when did that start? And I said, you know, I can't remember when it didn't start. So I don't have a real good answer for you. But as you know, Nestor, having been coming over here now for a few weeks, 4th of July is a high holiday. They're ready for it down the street at one of our sponsors, State Fair. Here we are today at another great sponsor, Jennings. And next week, we'll be back at Fadley.
So I'll be reading from the menu here.
We've got some terrific sponsors.
Might be a turkey avocado club today, but you keep talking about the burgers.
Awful good cheeseburger and a great crab cake. So.
All right. Well, we got a great guest here today.
We've warmed everybody up.
And tell everybody how I feel about green rooming, because the Baltimore Positive crew, some new audience out here, very unfamiliar with how I do radio. So just give a little, because I didn't want to green room her at all, because I've known of her all of my life, literally all of my life, and I've never spoken to you other than like at an Ed Block event or a hello. Just out of respect for you, because you were like the principal of the principals. So I was always going to stay out of your office. You know what I'm saying? So, Don, go ahead. Give the floor to Nancy Grasby. Let's talk about her.
I think we have a guest today that truly, we keep saying this, but this guest truly needs no introduction.
I'm drinking iced tea and learning.
There are legendary educators across the United States of America. And when you look up legendary educator in the dictionary, there's Dr. Nancy Grasmick's picture. Just an incredible record. Longest serving state school superintendent in the nation. First female appointed school superintendent. 20 years in a job where, safe to say, Nancy, people don't stay 20.
That is true.
It's safe to say they don't stay 20 years. I had to laugh because I saw a quote from Dr. Grasmick in 2018. Said, if you rest, you rust. So
correct.
You don't look rusty. So catch people up. I mean, tell us, what's Nancy Grasmick doing today? You left the superintendency back, what, in 2011, and you just haven't slowed down at all. So what's going on in your life at this point?
Well, it's an exciting time in terms of what I'm doing. I'm a presidential scholar at Towson University, which you know is the fastest growing university in the state of Maryland. And I have an opportunity to do all of these creative projects that I love on behalf of students, and also in terms of some social issues, because I'm leading an initiative at Towson, which is pretty deep, about women's leadership. Both high school young women who've demonstrated an interest in leadership, then students on the campus who are interested in leadership, and then I have an external group. I've had 5 external groups from the corporate and nonprofit communities who come and study at Towson after their jobs each day from January through May. And those young women, it's been amazing. They're people who are in mid-level positions, women, and they aspire to leadership, to be that CEO. And 50% of them have now achieved that goal as a result of the work that we've done.
Is that a unique program?
It's very unique in the sense that it has such depth and continuity. A lot of universities and other organizations do meet and greet or present people, women, with an inspiring speaker, but nothing that really has that depth of a curriculum. And I think that's what makes it unique. They learn about themselves. They learn about what are the missing dimensions of why more women aren't in leadership positions. And my philosophy, and I got to be really clear about this one, I don't want the box checked. I want the person who gets the job to be prepared for that leadership position. Because I believe the worst thing that can happen to us is to put somebody in a position for which they are not prepared, even though you checked the box.
Nancy, I want to go back to the roots for you because he always likes to start at the beginning. Your educational career began back in the 60s. We had Barbara Bukowski on about a month ago. She talked about being a bell-bottom woman in the 70s trying to get involved in politics. I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was born in 68, but being a woman in the 60s, education, the place you came from, that was a place a woman could really make a way. Maybe because women were educators. They were school teachers. They were accepted in that way. In the way that maybe they weren't accepted in the legal community or the sports community or these or politics or other places, but your leadership, there had to have been some opening for you at that point in education that now is open to everyone and everywhere. We hope that you could bring to this, because I would think in the 60s, education was a natural place for a woman to go, to be a librarian, to be a teacher, as I know it. But you took that and made 50 years of it. It's different now, though, right?
Oh, it's very different now. But back then, you're absolutely correct. You had three choices. You're either going to be a nurse, you're going to be a teacher or something in education, or you're going to be a secretary. They were pretty much the choices.
But what about a leader in education? Because, Don, you came in the 70s. You fast-tracked toward principal. A woman principal in 1965. Was there such a thing?
Very rare.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when I was in Baltimore County, and this would have been in the 70s, and I was assigned to an area in the Dundalk area, the...
Hold on, I was in a school in Dundalk in the 70s.
Nancy knows why I'm giggling, because she's going to talk about all my good buddies here.
Yeah, I was assigned to a group of 32 principals in that area, elementary. At that time,
Mr. Conley was one.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dr. Kollmeyer
right?
was one. Carl Kollmeyer. I go through. So these were my educators. Yeah.
Well, you got it. But the first day I walked into that room as their boss, these guys called themselves the Mafia. And they looked at me like, what is happening here? There was one woman who was a principal. And the rest, 31 men.
Oh,
and the big deal was, after the principals' meeting once a month, they went to lunch together. It took 1 year before one of them came up to me and said, hey, would you like to go to lunch with us? And I knew I made it.
But you understand, they had a lengthy discussion about whether you were coming.
Oh, don't worry. That was the backroom discussion. But I remember going in one of these schools, and you would, Sandy Plains.
Okay, sure.
And the principal was walking down the hall with me, and a second grader said, who's that woman? And he looked at the child, and he said, she's my boss. And the kid put his hands on his hips, and he said, I thought only God was your boss.
Well, I want to double back, because and the great thing, Nestor and I say this every week, we never go in a straight line. So we're talking leadership. We're talking where you are at Towson. I love that Nestor took it back to the beginning, because I do want to go back.
These kind of leadership camps didn't exist for you.
Right. Oh,
that's what I was going to say, Nancy. How, as a young teacher who had this passion for education and suddenly began to move up in the school system, how did you navigate what was Baltimore County at that time? What skills did you have that allowed you to become a leader as you progressed through the system?
So I think the thing that distinguished me in some ways was I had a really interesting background. So I have to say that in a few minutes. When I was 16 years old, I was a student in high school. I was a senior. And I took penicillin, which you were not tested for. Right. And I lost my hearing. And I lost my hearing at a very pivotal time in my life because I was very social. I could not understand anything anyone said. And I was very distressed. I had a scholarship to go to Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, but I weighed about 80 pounds and I was 16 years old and I was still getting treatment. But I became obsessed with the story of Helen Keller, Helen Keller and her teacher, Ann Sullivan. And I decided I was going to be the new Ann Sullivan. And I was going to teach the deaf. So I ended up going to Gallaudet University, I was like the only hearing person in the whole deaf community.
So early on, you learned modeling, literally. Like,
absolutely.
Okay, sure.
And I had this path that I was going to take. And I obviously went on to Hopkins and got my doctorate in speech, hearing, and language. But the thing was, it changed my life because I was never going to be a teacher. Actually, never going to be a teacher. I was going to be a doctor. But I changed my life.
An MD.
And I changed my life, and I went on that trajectory. And it sort of distinguished me from other people because people didn't have that background. And I have to say that I had incredible mentors as men. Bob Dubell, Tony Marchione, people like that who were in the highest positions in Baltimore County. And they saw something in me that was different from other people. And so they provided the opportunities. You don't make it yourself. Someone has to identify that talent in you and nurture it. And Bob Dubell was my go-to mentor.
I mean, amazing when you think, and people who don't know, and actually, Bob,
one of your mentors
as Nancy said, you have this admiration and respect for Bob Dubell. Renee Spence is here with us today. She worked closely with Bob over the years. At 94 years old, Bob still has those same values and hasn't lost a step at all, and he inspired so many of us. So let's go there. What did you take away? Because one of the things we love talking about leadership, I'm going to come back to this women's program. What did you take away from Bob as a leader?
What I took away from Bob as a leader was his hands-on knowledge of every dimension of that organization, that school system. The second thing I took away was his insight in knowing he did not possess all the necessary skills. This has been profound for me, that you surround yourself with people who have
amazing.
The diversity of those skills that you do not have. And it's like an orchestra. You're going to play the violin. You're going to play the drums. But you've got to have all of that surrounding you to be successful.
Well, there has to be sheet music. Someone needs to hand you your part
and
know when to hit the cymbal.
That's exactly right. But you don't do that as a singular leader. And any leader who thinks he or she can run the show without that surrounding talent. But you also need to know what talent do you need and who possesses that talent.
Don said something about a month and a half ago about the next mayor needing to have a hatred of incompetence.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A hatred of incompetence. Right.
And I have that. I got to tell you. And I'm not going to be the mayor. But I have a hatred. And Renee Spence is sitting here, and she knows how I could take the axe because it didn't benefit the organization, and ultimately the organization exists.
It's about
its mission. Its mission is kids and the advancement of children in our society in terms of their education.
Well, Nancy Grasmick here. I just want to reset. We're out at the Jennings and OMSA at Jennings. 4th of July, come on out. Have a watermelon drink with us. We're cooling off here. Some Baltimore County educated folks here.
I mean, just think of the quality of our sponsors. Fadley's, Jennings, State Fair, more coming on. You know what that says?
Says I'm getting
Nancy,
fat this
and
summer.
Look at the quality of the guests. People know the importance of this city, and there are themes developing, Nancy, and we're all so passionate about it. And I write them down because, as Nestor knows, I'm anal, and I go home, and then I send them to him.
He ran the county. Themes, I don't know if you know
these
that.
These themes that grow up. We had Fraser Smith, who I know you know well.
Oh, very well.
And he was an incredible guest last week, and he has this unbelievable admiration for someone who we'll do a whole segment on your relationship with William Donald Schaefer. But he talked about William Donald Schaefer last week, and here's what he said. It's amazing. I wrote it down. It's like you guys must have compared notes. We said, what made Schaefer such a great leader? And he said, a couple of things. He said, one, he knew where he wanted to go, but he knew he had to surround himself with the best people. And then he added what you just said. And he wasn't afraid to not necessarily be the smartest person in the room, and he knew what he didn't know and was willing to have others help him get that. And you knew him as well.
Absolutely. And so let me also tell you one other thing about William Donald Schaefer, because, of course, I was on the cabinet, and the state superintendent's the only person not appointed by the governor on the governor's cabinet, because there's a law that prohibits that. So the way he conducted a cabinet meeting was, you are there on time. It begins at 7:30. If you're there 7:31,
the locked.
Door's locked.
We've heard that.
I
got up at 4 in the morning because I didn't want to be late. But beyond that, the meeting was divided into two parts. One, to talk about all your creative initiatives that you're pursuing. The second part was ringing for his assistant, who came in with constituent letters, and he had read every one of those letters. And if he chose that letter to read out loud to the whole cabinet, and you sat there and prayed, it's not my department.
Right.
It can't be my letter.
These were all complaint letters.
Complaint letters.
Never praise.
Hardly. Everybody prayed, literally, please, it just can't be my letter, so that you didn't get one of those letters, because he threw it at you, and he said, you got 24 hours, and this better be corrected.
Well, because he didn't, it was simple, and Nestor gets so angry. He lives in the city.
Oh, I live
loves
in
the city. He looks over, and he gets so angry that we have this great city. And
my wife and I walked through the city last night to see Chicago. My wife's fifth rebirth day after her bone marriage. It's a big night. Roost Chris met friends. Pete Carinci, Catonsville, go dogs, joined us for dinner. And we walked back at the end of the show carrying, you know, our chairs and whatnot. And I said, we've walked through Sydney, Australia. We've walked through Paris. We've walked through London. We've walked through San Francisco. We were in New York too. Got nothing on our
harbor
on an 82-degree summer night. I'll tell you that right now.
And I'm a Baltimore girl.
Right.
I was born in Baltimore, and I grew up in Baltimore. I went to school in Baltimore. So that city is precious to
every
me.
Single inch I walked by on the way home was a vision of Governor Schaefer. And then at the end, I get to see the statue right before I walk into my house. Right at the end.
Yeah.
You know? But it is heartbreaking to see it empty. It's heartbreaking to see my wife look at that little space across from the aquarium and say, what restaurant's going to choose to go in there? I said, we need better people to run the city. And when we get that, and you were a part of all of that, and that is, there's a pothole on Monday, on Wednesday, on Friday. And at what point, what day do we fix it? What day do we fix that pothole?
And you know what William Donald Schaefer did? He drove around all weekend and he made notes.
Right.
Called in the public service people on Monday and he said, guess what? There are abandoned cars, there are potholes, there are alleys that need to be cleaned. And they'd say, oh, of course. Where are they? Tell us. We'll go and do it. He said, no, no, no. That's for you to find out. And you know what his strategy was? They'd have to look at every alley and clean every alley and remove every car that was abandoned.
You know, Nancy, it's not like going back to your school experience. I often say that, and again, so many segments here. I mean, people asked you, they wanted you to be governor. They wanted you to be lieutenant governor. You've had so many political, Baltimore County
executives. I just went to have lunch with them.
You've had so many opportunities. But I often say that there are certain things in when you've been an educator that you really do bring to bear in any aspect. And I remember in a school, as a principal, I used to say to teachers, here's what I want you to do. You pick a different day each week, but I want you to think to yourself, it's the first time you're ever driving up to Catonsville High School, or it's the first time you're ever driving up to Sparrows Point Middle School. I want you to look around and see if there's something we've missed. Are the blinds falling down up in the left hand? Because it all matters.
It all matters, and everything begins with the basics. So when I think of my beautiful Baltimore City, when I see trash falling out into the street, that's a basic.
Can I complain about the city? I walked back from the stadium on Tuesday night, went to see the Machado game, and my wife and I walked up and down Conway Street, where, you know, Conway Street between the stadium and the Sheridan, on the other side, not on the Sheridan side, but on the wall side. There was bush growing on Conway Street during the Orioles home series. People are walking from the Inner Harbor up and there was bush growing that we, and I'm a short guy, I had to avoid falling weeds on Conway Street. And I thought to myself, when I'm there, that will be corrected.
Well, and we do
will be corrected. Because even though I don't like Mr. Angelos,
you're going out there with the round.
There are 12,000 people walking from here to there who should not be avoiding trees, squeegee boys, bums, beggars. They should have a clear path of safety to and from the ballpark. Well,
Where do they have it? Harbor East.
Right.
And John Patarakis was a close friend of my husband and myself.
Sure.
And he had a vision, and I don't know if any of you know the story behind the Harbor East.
Go ahead.
That's what we do here.
Mike Silver, who was a young man and who acquired over 30 acres there, but went into bankruptcy, and Governor Schaefer, in his wisdom, said, I need a wealthy person who can pay the taxes on this land until the city can buy it. Schaefer knew the city would never buy it.
Right.
But he enticed John Patarakis, who kept it for years and paid the taxes, till he realized there is no hope that the city's going to buy this land. And he developed that. And let me tell you, he developed it with his own money. That Marriott, when he built it, did not have a flag. Did not have a flag of a hotel. And he did it. And I got to tell you, he was so smart. And the organization and architecture, that place is spotless. No one's afraid in the Inner Harbor East.
Right. And we need to take that, and we need to take that energy and that vision that creates a Harbor East to the rest of the city. You're exactly right. It doesn't have to, and that's what Malia Cromer, one of our guests, said. She said, we've got to get beyond what we call those harbor neighborhoods, and we've got to bring that same kind of revitalization to others. So much to talk about. Nestor, I know, is pointing at the clock. When we come back after the break, I want to go back to Towson. I want to talk about women leadership. I want to talk about why you got interested in it and what it means to train leaders. So here we are. Jennings, what a great day. Dr. Nancy Grasmick, just before the great high holiday of the 4th of July.
I didn't call you doctor. I'm sorry.
Please don't.
Let's call you Nancy. Is that good?
That's good.
That's awesome. We're going to talk about John Steadman. We're going to talk about Lou. We're going to talk about
Governor Schaefer.
Talk about Kennedy Krieger.
We're going to talk about a little dust up along the way that Dr. Grasmick had with Governor O'Malley. That's always good to talk about.
I want to talk about the Gifted Talented program at Colgate Elementary and Hollibird Junior High School in 1979. And I want to talk about a guy I met in 1982 at Dundalk High who might be in the room. We are WNST.net and Baltimore Positive. Nancy Grasmick with us. Stay with us. Part 1, part 2 ahead, and 3 and more from Jennings in Catonsville.